Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
Well, let's bounce back to last week. It was a postseason win on your home field, so I assume that has to be a good feeling.
It's tough to win in the playoffs. Once you get here, everybody has a motivation. Everybody's fighting for survival. Everybody's fighting to survive in advance. So, they have the ultimate motivation. So everybody comes ready to play. So, yeah, it was pretty special.
So you guys don't score on the first drive and then score every single possession the rest of the game you guys had. So just offensive execution, what did you see looking back on it?
I thought our kids played well. We had some opportunities and we had some kids, again, in spots that they weren't entirely used to being in. So I was proud of those boys for the way that they executed and performed.
Yeah, and then 7 more days. I know that's your guys' mantra this time of the year. So you guys bought yourself another week, and you get a Marshall team tonight. So just what's this week of prep been like?
It's been cold, but it's been good otherwise. It's been fun. You know, this is a special time of year. I think any time you start getting time with the boys that is not guaranteed, it is a little extra special to us.
Yeah, and then it's a Marshall team that's coming off probably their best performance of the season high in point total. So just what did you notice that they did well last week?
They're tough. They control the football, I think, is one of the things that they do best. And I think part of the power in what they do is it seems like they have a philosophy and they own that philosophy. And they're not afraid to stand behind it.
Yeah, and just keys for you guys. What are you looking for most from your team?
We have to slow them down. They're not afraid to be methodical and keep the ball for long chunks of time. So we're going to have to slow them down and get them in atypical down and distance situations.
Alrighty, thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, last week's game was the first meeting for the Jays and the Fulton Hornets since 1962. Was it worth the wait?
No. It was about as lopsided as we would have expected.
Yeah. Just
the size difference on the field was very noticeable from the start. Roster
right.
size, player size.
Okay.
It was just not a fair fight from the start.
Yeah. Ends up being a 63-16 win, which, you know, it sounds like that seems like about right. Should be that final score was probably indicative of what it was.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of a scare early in the game. Jeff City starts at the ball, they fumble, Fulton fumbles it back, but late in the first quarter, it was 14-8, and it was like, how long is this going to stay a game?
Right.
And then Jeff City erupts for the 35-point second quarter, something crazy. They end up with 484 rushing yards in the first half on 31 carries, I believe.
That's just a ridiculous total. I mean,
15.6 yards per carry.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of indicative of how the game went. That's all you kind of really need to say about the offense. They scored.
Right.
They scored touchdowns on every single one of the possessions after the opening fumbles. So it was kind of a little bit of a shaky start, but the game was never really in question. And they got in, did what they needed to. Starters didn't play outside of one play in the second half. So about all you can ask for.
Yeah. Ends the Hornets season at 1-9, improves the Jays to 6-4, and they move on. They're still playing, which is what you want to be doing at this time of year. The good news is, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and get to the prediction point already, but I do feel like this is probably another win for the Jays this week. So the good news is you're taking on Marshall tonight, 3-7 Marshall tonight at home at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that was kind of a stunner. Tom is kind of the one, Tom Rackers, our editor here, kind of sent me a text shortly into the second half, and it was just an update on the Marshall score. And they were up 10-0 at that time, and it's like, this is interesting. And then game gets over, and Marshall was ahead 24-7 or 25-7. I forget what it was at that point. And it's like, Marshall's about to do this.
Right.
Definitely did not expect that. Van Horn just kind of came out flat, didn't put together their best performance, and Marshall was able to do what they needed to beat them. And it sounded like they took the lead early, and they have a split back veer offense, and they were just able to kind of play keep away.
Right.
Keep the ball away from Van Horn and just kind of kept them at bay, and were able to hold on to the lead. And it was their first district victory in 11 years. So yeah, that's a big win for Marshall.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, that's one of those where you kind of look at some games in some districts and you go, ooh, the 3-6 matchup is intriguing. I don't think we thought it was nearly that intriguing until number 6 Marshall pulls off the 24-15 upset over the 3 seed. Then you go, okay, I guess that one was an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, I had a coach ask me after the game. I forget who it was. I think it was Coach Dallas. He said, what are the other scores looking like? I said, it seems like it's gonna go how we expect. And then I looked again, and it's like, okay, never mind. Did not quite expect that one. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody really had that one predicted.
Yeah, especially when, like, say, it becomes only their third win of the season. They had come in at 2-7. Well, now they're 3-7. But it was kind of one of those you look at it and go, okay, the only teams they had beaten the whole rest of the year were Chillicothe all the way back in week one, and then the Fulton team that the Jays beat up on last week, and they blanked them 20-0. Otherwise, it had been kind of a slog for Marshall. And so but you know what? The Owls are still playing, and that's what you want to be doing. So I guess the thing is now is if you're the Jays, you got to get refocused on and don't let them have another second straight upset win when you get into district play.
Yeah, and it seems like they're going to be pretty well prepared for this one. Like I mentioned, it's a veer offense, and Jeff City's very well aware of the challenges that presents, obviously, with playing Capital City over the recent years. So they know what challenges that presents, but they also know that they're capable of stopping it. They put together one of their best defensive performances of the season against Capital City, and it was just the D-line's game. They were penetrating the backfield almost every single play. They were hitting the quarterback sometimes before he could even hand the ball off. So they know it takes a kind of a different level of physicality and just aggressiveness to kind of limit what they like to do. And they feel pretty well prepared for that, I believe.
Yeah, again, I feel like it's just one of those things where I think this is the time of year where obviously everybody still wants to be playing, but I do feel like that there are teams that have kind of been pointing towards this for a while, saying, okay, this is the time of year where we want to be taking that next step. And I don't think that the Jays are coming in overconfident, but I do feel like that you want to be peaking, and it does seem to be like, okay, this is kind of what some of the struggles of this season have been going towards to this point. So how equipped now do you feel like that starting with tonight's game that they are poised to maybe make a run for a little while?
Their kind of offensive rut came at, you never necessarily say it comes at the right time. You never want to have that, but them going through that late in the season and then getting back on track against Moberly in the final week of the regular season was extremely important. And that's what we talked about headed into that game, is if they're going to get back on the right track, it needs to happen now, because you don't want to be figuring stuff out in the playoffs. And obviously last week, you can only read into it so far, but they are playing good football right now. The defense hasn't necessarily played its best over the past really just last week. They gave up a lot of rushing yards, but they have shown, and we've talked about it on this podcast, that unit is strong and they can put together good performances. So, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good if you're Jeff City right now. I mean, they're probably playing their best football of the season right now. And yeah, like you said, that's definitely when you want to be playing it.
So if there is something where maybe Marshall can pop up and kind of do something where we make this a game, like, say, you know, last week's game was a game for a quarter, and that was kind of surprising. If Marshall is able to hang around and hang around and hang around, what do you think they're doing to make that a game tonight?
It's going to have to be getting an early lead. Okay. Starting this game fast for Jeff City is very important, because it's obviously two run-heavy offenses. Okay. So getting a lead and making the other offense, whichever one is able to do that, kind of get away from what they like to do will be very important. So if Jeff City turns the ball over once or twice early in the game, maybe fumbles it like they did on their opening possession last week, and Marshall's able to get a couple early touchdowns, this wouldn't be easy in that case, because like I mentioned earlier, last week they were able to just play keep away. Do I think the Jays defense will allow that to happen? No, I don't. But that would be the recipe for Marshall being able to pull off an upset.
The other thing you kind of look at and go, okay, is, you know, last week they were able to hold Van Horn to 15 points. So if they're able to maybe use their defense to maybe keep it close and shut down the Jays. You go, okay, yes, but they're also the team that gave up, you know, 48 the week before that, and 56 granted to Hannibal the week before that. But it's there's been some big scores, you know, from the Owls allowed this year. So it's almost like you go, can their defense, are they suited enough to make this one close?
From the little I've seen, I'm going to lay this out there. They don't have stats anywhere. So okay. Once again, my scouting report is watching huddle clips. And they okay. don't have many of those either. So okay. my scouting is not fantastic on this team, but they seem like a smaller group.
Okay.
So size is going to be a big advantage for Jeff City again. But rolling off your point of the defense, they gave up over 400 yards to Hannibal, over 400 yards to Cameron, almost 400 yards to Boonville in week two. So, I mean, they come in giving up about 28 points per game. So it's not a defense that's been particularly strong, okay. but they have had good performances. Like you mentioned, the shutout against Fulton, and last week they held them to under 300 yards and under 110 passing yards. So you got to be pretty pleased with that if you're Marshall. But it doesn't seem like a group that's going to give Jeff City a whole lot of problems, especially size-wise. I think Jeff City's offensive line is going to have a major advantage again. So could they do it? There's always a chance, but I don't expect it.
So let's veer away from this one for just a second. I want to try to just look at the other half of the bracket in this district, and you look at it and go, okay, seeds have held on the other side from the standpoint of you got one Pleasant Hill playing for Warrensburg. So I think it's kind of a game where I think Warrensburg comes in as the underdog and Pleasant Hill's the prohibitive favorite. But again, that's why we play these games. So let me just ask you. What's, whoever comes out of this J.C. Marshall game, who's the team that team is going to meet next week?
I mean, you got to give the edge to Pleasant Hill. Warrensburg did beat them earlier this year. That is Pleasant Hill's one loss on the season. So that is an intriguing thing. And I know Jeff City fans are kind of holding on to that hope that they might get to host a district championship game.
Right.
Obviously, you can't rule out Warrensburg beating them again, but Pleasant Hill has kind of shown all year what kind of team they are. They're dominant. And in these type of games, they put together dominant performances. So I would expect Pleasant Hill to come out on top. But, I mean, you can't sleep on Warrensburg because they've obviously done it before. Their defense scares me, though. Obviously, they gave up 87 points to Oak Grove just a few weeks ago. So it's not a strong defensive unit, and Pleasant Hill has shown the ability to score touchdowns in bunches. So. Yeah. You got to give the edge to the old Roosters.
So, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of, yes, you're a Jay fan and you're rooting for that Warrensburg upset again, it's not like we're talking about, oh, Warrensburg got Pleasant Hill all the way back like in week one or week two. No, it was just 2 weeks ago. So it's one of those where you're looking and go, okay, that's, or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's not that long ago where you go, okay, oh, that's ancient history and that can't happen again. It's still probably fresh in both teams' mind from the standpoint of you look at it and go, okay, and who knows? Again, matchups make fights. So a lot of times it may just be like, okay, they're suited to play that team. So you just never know. But yes, you do wonder and you do look at that, that last game of the regular season and go, you're coming off an 87-56 loss. And it's still one of those where you're just going, the numbers are just boggling. But yeah, it is kind of one of those where you go, okay, I don't know what to say about a team that has had some, pretty big numbers on that side of the ledger this year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a group that's hard to get a grasp on. And I've talked to a little bit with the Warrensburg reporter, Joe Andrews, who follows them a lot. And it doesn't seem like he has a great grasp on what kind of team they are.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's where they stand.
All right, I guess that gets us back to our game. And I'm just going to ask you flat out, do the Jays advance tonight?
You have to expect they're going to. And this is another game where you kind of hope that they're able to get in, get the job done, and get the starters out and remain healthy. It is unclear, but it does seem pretty likely that Cantrell Jordan will be back at running back this week. And Jaden LaViolette was able to step in big last week and have a big performance. So the running back room will be back at full strength. And something they talked about is this will be the first time they're back at full strength since week six against Hickman.
Okay.
So the Jays are getting healthy at the right time. It seems like they're peaking, and I think that continues tonight. So I will predict them to win. Let's go 49-7 again. That's what I did last week. Let's do it again.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.